you're listening to audio from the West End Community Church in McGregor, Manitoba.
So today we have Andrew Dick joining us to speak today. Andrew is now the assistant director at Valley View Bible Camp. And I've known Andrew for a long time. He's a good friend and a godly man. And so it's good to have you speaking with us today. Andrew, why don't you come on up and just share what the Lord has put on your heart.
Thanks, Andrew. Good morning. It's good to be here to share a little bit about what's happening at the camp and just share a bit about our theme we've chosen for this summer. I've only been on the job for 3 months. I started back in January, so not a whole lot of time. But in that time, I have noticed some things that have been a big encouragement to me, things that I didn't see before when I wasn't on staff. And one of those is just the willingness of God's people to come alongside us as a ministry and partner with us in so many different ways. The most obvious is the volunteer help that our local churches supply for the Tubing Hill on the weekends. That's such a big help for us. As a full-time staff team, there's only five of us. We take care of all the sliding shifts during the week. So Monday to Friday, 10 in the morning to 10 at night, we take care of all of those, right? So it's such a blessing to have help on the weekends, because that would make a very long winter feel even longer. So that's been really good. We also have a handful of guys who have come, not on behalf of their church necessarily, just on their own time, just to come and help us during the week. So we have guys coming in the morning shifts, afternoon shifts, evening shifts, whatever works for their schedules. That's been really good too. We've had, girls volunteering to come help us clean the lodge in between rental groups. We've had the Hutterite Colony supplied a whole crew of girls to come and paint our basement for our new build in the new lower level there. We have a church in the Portage area that's been cutting and delivering firewood for us all winter. So just all these different ways that people have been serving, it's something that we don't take for granted. And it's just been a big encouragement to me personally. So one of the big questions that we get asked around this time of year is, how many sliders did we get for the winter? So if you have been keeping track over the years, you would know that the record year for sliders was just over the 12,000 mark, 12,300 sliders. And then we've been over 10,000 one other year, is 10,600. That was the year right before COVID hit. So this year, we're not officially closed yet. We closed this weekend because we're trying to accommodate our sliders this week. But as of right now, we're just over the 9,000 mark, which is pretty good considering the restrictions we were under and the limited capacities we were allowed to have. So we're pretty pleased with those numbers. A lot of Bible camps are looking for ways to get the public onto their property. And here we have groups from the reserves. We have public schools, we have groups and families, people that wouldn't necessarily go to church, but they're contacting us asking if they can come. So we're just so thankful that the Lord's providing us with opportunities to interact with people every day that don't know Jesus right at the camp. So it's been good. When it comes to the summer, we're excited that after 2 years we're finally able to offer overnight camps again. So that's really exciting. We know for a lot of families that the day camps model worked better for them, just for scheduling, or maybe their kids are a little bit hesitant to sleep over. So we are still going to offer some day camps mixed in throughout the summer. So check the website, valleyviewbiblecamp.com. All the schedule's up there already, so you can see the different ages, when they're being offered. And I believe our mailing went out this past week. So if you've registered a child in the past, you should be getting a mailing pretty soon if you haven't got it already. Registration opens up April 1st. And then just one last thing for the summer, I'll say we are already accepting applications for our summer missionaries. So if you or someone you know is interested in serving at camp this summer, just contact us or they can just start filling out their application form on the website. In the time we have left this morning, we're going to spend some time in the Word. We're going to look at the theme that we've chosen. And we're going to look at what we can learn from one of the Psalms written by David. But before we do that, let's just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Thanks, Lord, for this new day, this opportunity we have to gather with our fellow believers. And just thank you for your word and just the encouragement that it is to us and how you have revealed yourself through your word. And as we study it, we pray that we would just learn something more about you today that we can take with us this week. We pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, so if you have your Bibles with you, I'll invite you to turn with me to Psalm 138. Psalm 138, it's only 8 verses. We will read the whole thing through. We'll start with verse 1. Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. For great is the Lord, great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is on high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. When I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. So this is a psalm that speaks of the importance of prayer. It's a psalm of reflection and of thankfulness. And David is thanking the Lord for three things in particular here, and you find them in verse 2 and verse 3. First, he's thanking the Lord for his steadfast love and faithfulness. Secondly, he's thanking the Lord that he's exalted himself and revealed himself through his written word. And then the third, in verse 3, he's thanking the Lord for what God has done for him personally, right? He answered his prayer and he strengthened him. So a sermon could be preached on each one of those, and I'm not going to do that this morning. We're just going to focus on the last one. We're going to park ourselves in verse 3 for the morning. So David, he wrote this psalm after the Lord brought him through a tough time in his life. And we know that based on the phrase at the beginning of verse 3, on the day I called. Now this is a common phrase found in the Psalms, and it takes different forms. The wording might change. But it always refers to this day of trouble, day of calamity, day of distress. Just some quick examples here where this phrase is used. Psalm 20, verse 1, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. Psalm 27, verse 5, for he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. Psalm 41, 1, blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. And then this next one, the wording changes a little bit. Psalm 59:16, but I will sing of your strength. I will sing of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. And then Psalm 18:18, they confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. So the Psalms are songs, right? And they have kind of an artistic way of implying something rather than coming out right out and saying it plainly like in other parts of Scripture. This phrase, day of trouble, day of calamity, day of distress, it's just general enough that it encompasses all sorts of trouble, right? It could be sickness, it could be financial troubles, it could be military threats, spiritual struggles. Basically any kind of trouble in the Psalms could be referred to as a day of trouble. Now, what's interesting for us here in Psalm 138 is that this phrase also takes the form of when on the day I call in other parts of the Psalms. So that's the same kind of idea. Just an example, Psalm 56:9, then my enemies will turn back In the day when I call, this I know that God is for me. You see, in these times of trouble, these times of distress, these are the times when we often call out to the Lord in prayer, right? We call out to God for help. Now, not much is known specifically about when Psalm 138 was written or which hardship David's referring to here. But we know just from reading through the scripture that David faced a lot of tough times in his life, right? Early on, after he was anointed as the next king of Israel, he had the pressure of people wanting him to kill Saul. And then he had the pressure of Saul trying to kill him. And then when he was finally king, he had the pressure of leading a nation and all the military battles. And then he had people rebelling against him. His own son tried to kill him, right? And then there's the struggle brought on by his own sin, right? So we don't know. This day of trouble, this day when he called out to the Lord, it could be any one of those things, or it could be something else entirely. We're not quite sure, but what we do know is that the Lord brought him through it, right? He's looking back upon it, and he's rejoicing in the Lord because of it. He's rejoicing in the Lord that when he called out in that moment of weakness or trouble, the Lord answered him and strengthened him. So the focus of this psalm is not on the hardship. The focus is on praising God for bringing him through the hardship. Okay, so let's let that be the framework or the lens with which we view this verse this morning. We're going to look at three points that we can pull from verse 3, and I'll warn you, they're not going to be super deep or profound. It's just what it is. I think that's okay, right? When it comes to the Lord, even the most obvious things are still pretty remarkable, if that makes sense, right? Those things that we learned as a child in Sunday school or at Bible camp, they're still amazing truths if we take the time to reflect on them, right? So the first thing we see from this verse is that we serve a God who hears us when we call. Now, it doesn't say that he hears it. It says that he answered, but I think it's safe to assume that if he answered David, that he obviously heard him, right? Other parts of Scripture, there's passages that say that God does hear us, right? Psalm 66:19 says, "But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer." In Jeremiah 29:12-13, the Lord said, "Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart." So David called out to God in his time of distress, and he's rejoicing in the fact that the Lord heard him and answered him. Now, I could almost just leave us this morning to reflect on that one truth, right? That's pretty amazing in itself, that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of all creation, he hears you when you call. That's an amazing truth, right? He's not preoccupied with more important things. He doesn't tell the angels to take our calls, right? He's powerful enough to sustain all of creation and watch over his people. Psalm 121 is a very familiar psalm. We're not going to read it this morning, but if you were to read it, you would pick up some of those key phrases, right? He's referring to God as the maker of heaven and earth, that he says he won't let the sun harm you by day or the moon by night, and he won't let your foot slip. He doesn't slumber or sleep. He watches over you now and forevermore. That's the amazing God that we serve, right? The God that holds the sun and moon in place, he promises to watch over you. And he doesn't need time off. He doesn't need to rest. And as David can attest to in Psalm 138, he's not a God that's just up there watching. He's a God that's also listening. He's an attentive God. Now, the second thing that we see here from verse 3 is that he answers us. He answers us when we pray. Now, this can be a difficult concept to wrap our mind around sometimes, right? Because we're sinful people, we're selfish, right? Our tendency, even without wanting to, our tendency can be to think of God as, I don't know, a genie, right? Granting wishes, or a heavenly vending machine. I don't know if people even use vending machines anymore. That reference might be outdated, I don't know. But it doesn't really work that way, right? We know that. But we have this promise in 1 John 5, 14 and 15. It says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." Now, that sounds pretty good, right? But the important thing to remember from this passage in 1 John 5 is that the emphasis here is on God's will, right? It's not our will. When we call out to God in prayer, we don't just give him our list of requests and just hope that he gives us what we ask for, right? Rather, our prayers should be a discussion, right? Inquiring what the Lord wills for our lives, what the Lord wills for that sick person, what the Lord wills for our nation, right? Kind of like how Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew chapter 6, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've been talking about it in the adult Sunday school class, right? About how living with an eternal perspective should affect how we live, the actions that we take, the decisions that we make. Well, living with an eternal mindset should also affect how we pray, right? Instead of praying for things to go our way, we call out to God asking that things go his way. So we don't just live with an eternal mindset, we also should pray with an eternal mindset. So then, does that mean then that we're not allowed to pray for healing? Or that we're not allowed to pray for our physical needs to be met because those are more temporal things? No, of course not, right? God wants us to come to him with those requests. But again, within the framework of his will, right? It's not about our comfort. That's not our focus, right? It's about God being glorified regardless of our comfort level, regardless of our circumstances. Now, in the case of David, in his hard time in Psalm 138, he called out to the Lord when he was in trouble. Now, we know that it's God's will for David to do that. When we're in trouble, it's God's will for us to call on him. Right? We know that based on passages like Psalm 50, verse 15. This is the Lord speaking here. He says, "Call upon me," when? "In the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Right? That's God's will for us. He wants us to do that. And that's what happened for David, right? He was in a day of trouble. He called out to the Lord. The Lord answered him, strengthened him. And what was David's response? To praise and glorify God in thankfulness. So that was God's will worked out there. Now, as just a side note here, notice that in verse 3, the answer to David's prayer was instantaneous, right? It says, "On the day I called, you answered me." Now, this is where it kind of gets confusing for us as humans and our limited understanding, right? Because it doesn't always work that way. We don't always get our prayers answered instantly when we call, right? In fact, David himself, he wrote another psalm where he said something completely different, right? Psalm 40, verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry." So in Psalm 40, God's answer to his prayer was not instantaneous. He had to wait for it, and he had to be patient. Well, why? Why is that, right? We don't know. I don't claim to know the mind of God. His ways are higher than our ways. One thing I will say, though, is that sometimes we find ourselves in a place where we need God's help in the moment, right? And as we just read in Psalm 50, God wants us to call on him in those moments of weakness, right? He wants to strengthen us in those times. If you were to read the rest of Psalm 40, you could kind of see David's response to waiting, right? His response was, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." So David learned to trust in waiting, right? And I think the same is true for us as well. So those are kind of just different circumstances. So the last point, we're going to look at this verse, verse 3, is that we serve a God that not only hears us, we serve a God that not only answers our prayer, but we serve a God that strengthens our soul. It says, "My strength of soul you increased." Now, different versions will translate this differently depending on your Bible. It might read something different, but they all kind of say something similar, right? The NIV says that you made me bold and stout-hearted. The King James says you strengthened me with strength in my soul. And the NASB says you made me bold with strength in my soul. So they all kind of imply that when David called out to the Lord strengthened him by strengthening his soul, right? In the original language, this wording, it speaks of the inner being of a man, that he is strengthened from within. And so this idea of our soul needing to be strengthened, it's not a new one, right? It's mentioned elsewhere in Scripture. And especially in the Psalms, Psalm 34, 17 to 18. And again, catch some of these common phrases here. The righteous cry out, the Lord hears them, he delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 53, 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Chances are, sometime in your life, maybe even in the past 2 years with all that's been going on, chances are you've been through a time where your soul has been downcast, right? We all have, right? It's nothing to be ashamed of, embarrassed of. Doesn't make you a weak or an immature Christian. Even King David, he's a man after God's own heart. He openly admitted that he went through times where his soul was disturbed within him. But the good news is that we don't stay in that state, right? We don't pitch our tent down in that valley, right? As we've read, in those times of distress, when we call out to the Lord, he hears us and he strengthens our downcast souls. But this might not be how we want God to answer our prayers in those moments of distress, right? Again, we're sinful, we're selfish people. We want things to go our way, right? Wouldn't it just be easier for God to remove the burden or just to remove that obstacle that we're up against? Maybe it would be easier, I don't know. But I came across this quote from Charles Spurgeon when I was doing this study, and he kind of said it this way. And I'm paraphrasing a bit here, but he said, "If the burden was not removed, yet strength was given wherewith to bear it, this is an equally effective method of help." So God giving us the strength to bear a burden is just as effective as God removing the burden. What did Paul say about that thorn in his side that he begged God to remove, but for some reason God wouldn't remove it? He said, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" That's from 2 Corinthians 12, 8 to 9. See, God's grace is sufficient. God is enough for us, right? We sang about it this morning, right? He promises to strengthen us with his power when we are feeling weak. And as David attests to in Psalm 138, the way God does that is by strengthening us from within, right? He strengthens our downcast souls. As I close here this morning, I realize that I haven't mentioned the camp theme yet. Maybe I'm just drawing it out for dramatic effect, I don't know. But the theme that we've chosen for the summer is be bold. We know that there's been a lot of fear and anxiety in our world lately. And I would imagine that if there was a poll or a survey taken, that the collective mental health of our nation has likely taken a steep dive in the past 2 years, right? Many of us in this very room, in the past 2 years, we've been through battles we never thought we would go through, right? We've carried burdens heavier than we've ever carried before. Well, maybe this morning it's time to take stock of your soul. Is it downcast? Is your soul disturbed within you? These words, be bold, our theme, it's not just this cute slogan that we hear and then we're like, oh, okay, yeah, I will. I'll be bold, right? It doesn't work that way, right? It doesn't come from within us. We don't will it into being. We don't buckle down and force ourselves to be bold, right? David, he understood it. He said, when I called, you answered, you made me bold, right? God wants us to call on him in our day of trouble. He promises to make us bold by giving strength to our weary souls. Now, for our campers this summer, obviously it starts with the gospel message, right? And if they can get a better understanding of who God is and just be aware of their own sin and their need for a Savior, then hopefully they make that decision and they choose to serve the Lord. And if they do, then this message is just as relevant to them as it is to us this morning, that if they choose to serve the Lord, then they serve a God that hears them when they call. If they choose to serve the Lord, they serve a God that answers them when they pray. And they serve a God that makes them bold by strengthening their souls. We have these sayings in our culture, right? Like, if I knew then what I know now, or hindsight is 20/20, right? When we look back, we can see things with a more clear picture. Sometimes it's easier to see what God has done than it is to see what God is currently doing. I think that's just the nature of being in the midst of a day of trouble, right? It's dark. It's discouraging. I encourage you this week, like David did in Psalm 138, take some time, look back, reflect on some of the things that God has done for you. Reflect on some of the ways, these days of trouble that God has brought you through, right? Let's thank God for these times. Let's give him the glory for the times where he made us bold by strengthening our souls. I just want to thank you guys for this opportunity to share. If you guys have any questions about camp or the summer, just come and find me after the service. I'd love to chat. Let's just close our time in prayer. Thank you, Lord, just for the God that you are. Just thank you for your steadfast love, your faithfulness. Thank you that you have exalted yourself through your written word. And we thank you that you are a God that hears us when we call and strengthens us when we need it. We pray that you would keep that in our minds this week as we go forward from here. Help us just to rely on you and not our own strength, not our own boldness, but to rely on the strength that comes from you. So we pray this in your name. Amen.